Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we've got some news in Packerland to talk about. For the first time, you threw this at me, since 2010, the Packers trade in season for a player, acquiring running back Nile Davis to help out a position that's obviously stressed by the injury to James Starks. Trading a conditional draft pick to the Kansas City Chiefs for Davis, what can you tell us about the newest Packers running back?
Well, first things first, Anthony Smith no longer the answer to the trivia question of who is the last Packers player that has been acquired in a trade in season. That goes back to 2010. Nile Davis is the new guy on this roster, 5'10", 227 pounds, only 25 years old. He'd seen his role as a former third-round draft pick. He'd kind of seen his role and his spot on the depth chart sort of fall as he had Sharkhandrick West come up, Spencer Ware, and obviously Jamaal Charles coming back. So he was the number four running back. John Dorsey and Ted Thompson work a trade, former colleagues there in that way. And now the Packers seem to have found a healthy running back to bring in there, hopefully for this Thursday night against the Bears.
Yeah, and what do you see as Nile Davis's calling card here? From what I recall, seeing him in preseason games against Green Bay and whatnot, seems to be a guy with some speed, maybe brings a little bit different dimension in that respect to the offense.
Yeah, there was a reason why he was a third-round draft pick. I mean, 227 pounds, but he ran a 4.37 at the combine, I believe it was, when he was coming out of Arkansas 3 years ago. So he's kind of a bigger back, but yet he still has some quickness to him. So he got some opportunities. Probably his best shot was in 2014 when he came in place of Jamaal Charles. The last 2 years really hasn't had as many. Seems to be a pretty solid kick returner as well, has two career touchdowns returned. So there are multiple ways that you can use him, but first and foremost, I mean, the biggest thing is this young man is healthy, and that's certainly a position where the Packers needed the body after James Starks, as Mike McCarthy confirmed this week, having knee surgery.
Yeah, Starks, we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out. Mike McCarthy did not believe it's going to be an IR, injured reserve type thing, but didn't exactly have a timeline on Starks. Certainly no accident that this trade is made with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's kind of interesting the way things have happened. John Dorsey has picked up a lot of Packers players who have been released, players that he scouted while he was here, some of them anyway, before he became the GM in Kansas City. And this is how personnel sometimes works in the NFL. It's about relationships. It's about those past ties with people, and also not an accident that the Packers found a trading partner in the AFC, because maybe a little harder to find a trading partner in the NFC that would want to help out a team that's been to the playoffs 7 years in a row, and the rest of the NFC would just as soon see the Packers maybe take a year off from the playoffs if they're struggling in a certain instance. So hopefully this works out well for the Packers. I'm curious as to your thoughts. What do you see? He can't obviously get completely up to speed on the playbook right away. Do you take a guy like this and try to make him the third down back and teach him the blitz pickups and stuff? Or do you, based on the current situation with Eddie Lacy and his ankle, do you try to get him up to speed on maybe the first and second down, normal down and distance first, so that he can spell Lacy, on that bad ankle for a couple of games?
Yeah, certainly. And this is a conversation that Ben Sermons and Mike McCarthy, Edgar Bennett, they're all going to have to discuss this and figure out what is going to be the best plan to incorporate Davis into this offense. Because I think one of the reasons we always joke about it, and I said that somewhat lightheartedly in the opening about, it's been years since the Packers have made a trade in season. Well, you spend 5-6 months building your team and playing with a particular core of players. It's not, you can't just go out there and just suddenly be a part of the offense and just click 100% and know what you're doing. This isn't Madden. So with Davis, there is going to have to be a little bit of a period there to get him sort of immersed in the system and the scheme and what the Packers are expecting. So to your question, I think it maybe falls more with the latter, in being able to maybe just get him in some first and second down situations, get him comfortable. Because as we learned in the third down spot with this offense and Aaron Rodgers, that's a critical position for the running back to know 100% what his assignments are. And that might be something I think could kind of come with time with Davis.
Yeah, and I think maybe in the third down situation perhaps, and again, this is all speculation on
Absolutely.
Our part, but with the third down situation, maybe the Packers actually more comfortable with Ty Montgomery. They're maybe not going to feed Ty Montgomery the ball in the running game a whole whole lot. But with Montgomery and what he's been doing with the running backs, if he knows the third down assignments and whatnot, then Eddie Lacy doesn't need to be on the field for those snaps. And I think personally it would be quicker to get a guy up to speed on a handful of plays, normal down and distance, first and second down, so that he could take some snaps and take some carries for Eddie Lacy as Eddie hopefully can get through the Chicago game and then have a little bit of extra rest for that ankle before the trip to Atlanta.
No question. And then the thing you got to remember too, Mike McCarthy, when he met with the media on Monday, discussed this. I mean, for everything that, you know, needs to get cleaned up with the offense, I think overall they were pretty happy with what they got out of that big five package where they had Montgomery working as sort of that quote-unquote, you know, back.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there were positives there to be drawn from, and I think things that they can take going forward now into these next couple weeks to incorporate into this offense and try to find their rhythm. So it just gives them another tool. I mean, it's not easy. You can't just plug and play running backs. You have to be smart. You have to be smart with how you handle your 53-man roster. But being able to bring in Davis now, I think that shows a lot of dedication right now from Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy to make sure they give the offense what they need in the backfield.
Yeah, well, and as the week continues, I would assume we'll get a chance to talk to Nile Davis and learn a little bit more about him. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's touch on the other position on the Packers roster that Mike McCarthy referred to as stressed, aside from running back, and that's the cornerback spot, dealing with certainly a plethora of injuries, you might say. Sam Shields has been out with the concussion. Quentin Rollins went down in practice late last week with a groin injury, missed the Dallas game. And then Demarius Randall, who had missed the Giants game, then re-aggravated his groin injury and came out, which left the Packers down to Ladarius Gunter and newly off suspension Dimitri Goodson as the top two corners. A tough spot for this defensive backfield to be in, but they may be in that exact same spot come Thursday night on a short week.
Yeah, this is a tough one, not only to have, you know, Quentin Rollins come down with the injury that he did at the moment in which he had it, you know, on that Saturday before the game. Mike McCarthy, as you alluded to, already talking about how he won't play this Thursday night. Then you have Demarius Randall toughing through the groin injury after missing the Giants game and then re-aggravates that. So now you're in this situation where you don't know where exactly Sam Shields is. You have your top two other cornerbacks out with groin injuries, and that's where this depth is really being tested. I thought it was really something that Dimitri Goodson in his first game back, first regular season action of the year after, you know, since that month off, he ends up playing whatever it was, 35, 36 snaps. Not advantageous, not what you're hoping to get out of Dimitri Goodson in that first game back. So with him and Ladarius Gunter, I would expect, you know, with the way that this defense is constructed, they should have an easier time, I think, stopping the run. That probably would allow you to move back HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett into more two-shell looks, and maybe you find ways to help out your cornerbacks that way. But certainly this is a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, I think we'll see the Packers from a schematic standpoint defensively, as you say, revert to the way they played against the Giants. You try to keep the two safeties back as much as you can to help out the corners, and you ask essentially a six-man box to stop the run against Chicago. Now, you know, Chicago's running game has not really found its footing. They've been trying Jordan Howard, the back out of Indiana, but they're still trying to get some things rolling there. And Ladarius Gunter had such a good game against the Giants, and then, you know, kind of completely the opposite, just a rough night against the Cowboys. You know, not to make excuses for him, but he was put in a tough spot in that he'd been always playing on the right side of the defense at cornerback, and then when the injury with Randall happened, they flipped Gunter over to the left side. And it's not as easy as it sounds when you're talking about footwork. It's the same thing for an offensive lineman.
Right.
You know, when you have to switch sides and all the footwork and everything gets changed. And I think we saw Gunter feeling, you know, a little bit like a fish out of water there on that side of the field. And you know, we'll see how the Packers line up. But the fact that they're not facing the number one rushing offense in the league, where you maybe have to commit more of the defenders to the run, I think is going to help out the stressed cornerback situation.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And it's one of those things, too. I mean, you go back to the years in which they had, you know, Charles Woodson and Tremont Williams, guys that had so much experience and were able to really keep at the top of their game despite being 6, 7, 8, 9 years into their careers. Now you're at the opposite side of this, where you have a lot of young guys who don't have all that experience, and certainly when a guy like Ladarius Gunter's put in a situation like that where suddenly he's flipping sides, that's stuff that's going to benefit him down the road, but in terms of, you know, the here and now, there's going to be some bumps in that road.
Yeah, so for sure.
For him, I think the biggest thing is going to be a short memory, because you look at what he did against the Giants. We all saw it. I mean, we talked about it on the show last week. He was our player on the rise coming out of that game. The young man has the talent, and he has the strength, and certainly has the size. It's just about putting everything together against that, and the Packers are going to need him. I mean, if it comes down to him and Demetri Goodson, and as you said, the next guy up, Josh Hawkins, I mean, those are a young core that the Packers are going to need to rely on if those other three can't go, and they have to be up to the test, because you look at Chicago, they've been able to sling the ball around quite a bit for all the issues they've had, and that's going to be one thing I'm sure they're going to be looking at, is the fact that the Packers potentially could be missing two or three of those top guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting schematic, you know, chess match type of thing, you might say, because if the Packers do keep the two safeties back to help out the young cornerbacks, then are the Bears going to try to stay more committed to the run? And then if the Packers' offense can get going and maybe build a lead or something like that, would that force the Bears' hand in terms of how they have to play? So that's why every game in this league is so different. You don't know how it's going to play out. Teams go in with a game plan, but then sometimes by the middle of the third quarter, that, you know, that game plan has to change because of just the circumstances and whatnot. So and with this being on a short week and everything like that, there's really a flip of a coin feel to just how this game is going to go Thursday night.
Absolutely, and you mentioned it too. You're going to have a Chicago Bears team that's going to be hungry to avenge a pretty close loss that they probably felt they should have had on Sunday. But I will also say, I think the Packers' run defense is going to come into this thing hungry. They're going to want to show that they are still the defense that everybody thought they were. And the fact of the matter is, they gave up, yes, I think it was 190 rushing yards altogether, all told.
Yep.
They still are only giving up 72.4 a game. That shows you how ahead of the curve they are over the rest of the league. This is still a good unit. I think this is going to be a game for them to come out and really set the tempo, because that is the strength of this defense right now. Even like they might not have always shown it against Dallas, this is something the Packers are going to be relying on going forward. I expect them to have a big game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think this is going to be a bounce-back game for that front seven against the run for the Packers. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we've been talking about the injuries on the Packers roster. The Bears, kind of a banged-up team as well when you look at their injury situation, not only having Brian Hoyer at quarterback for Jay Cutler, one of their top defensive players, Pernell McPhee, has not yet played this season, having begun the year on PUP with an injury. Jeremy Langford, who was supposed to be their starting running back, has gone down. Other players as well. This is a team that's been dealing with injuries right from the get-go.
Yeah, it's been a big difficult, you know, situation for them, because you look at how they came into the year and how they ended last season. I think there was a lot of optimism for this group that, hey, maybe this won't be a full rebuild. Maybe we can find our footing and actually get into a direction and get back up to the top of the NFC North again. And as it turns out, a lot of the areas, you know, you look at, they let go of Matt Forte. Well, it's supposed to be Jeremy Langford. Langford goes down. Kadeem Carey's been injured with a hamstring injury. Now Jordan Howard, their rookie fifth-round pick out of Indiana, is suddenly having to be the guy in the backfield. So
right.
A lot of different areas. I think that you and I talked about this in our pre-production meeting, too. You look at Kevin White. I mean, that was supposed to be the guy this season.
Yeah.
He ends up having another season-ending injury, and now what do you have with your receivers? The one bright spot for him is Ben Brian Hoyer. They seem to strike magic with these backup quarterbacks. But in terms of the weapons that I think everybody's expecting, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and you wonder when certainly losing Kyle Fuller on the defensive side of the ball doesn't help them. A starting corner, a young up-and-coming guy. I mentioned McPhee, a dynamic pass rusher who they acquired last season in free agency.
Lamar Houston and, now is
yeah,
up for the year.
That's right. Houston, another pass rusher, has gone down. You know, Vic Fangio, as you've mentioned many times, his track record with defenses is impressive. And the Bears were on their way to what looked like their best defensive performance of the season last week against Jacksonville, leading that game 13-0 after three quarters. And then all of a sudden, Jacksonville comes alive in the fourth quarter, scores 17 points. I believe the final touchdown was a defensive back falling down and a receiver actually getting up off the ground and running for the winning touchdown. And then the Bears offense taking their share of the blame for a 17-16 loss when they moved the ball and couldn't finish drives and had to settle for field goals. Some of the same, you know, issues that the Packers are having with not being able to finish drives on offense. So a lot of things the Bears are trying to sort through here. They're 1-5, but if there's one thing about a John Fox team, he'll have his guys ready to play.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought, as I alluded to earlier, I think that's one of the things you saw throughout the course of last year. They didn't get off to the start they wanted. And then by the end of the season, okay, there were some positives here that we could draw from and try to pull together and find an identity. This year, it's been more difficult trying to find that identity because I just think there's been so much mixing and matching of personnel. Defensively, like you said, McPhee, he's supposed to be the pass rusher. You know, Fuller's supposed to be the cornerback. They brought in, you look at this offseason with Jarrell Freeman, and then there's so many different moves they've made, and it just seems like it just hasn't been able to come together for one reason or another. I have been impressed by what Fangio's done with this defense despite those obstacles early on. There isn't a particular area of this team that I think is really a weakness in terms of, okay, that's a giant liability. Yeah. It's just been more about execution, and particularly when you get into the red zone, not being able to fully finish those drives and get things going your way. This is a game, very game, Bears team, and I think it's going to be a good matchup on Thursday night. But the bigger question is, for the Bears throughout the course of a long season, is there going to be enough consistency there with your personnel to find that true identity?
Yeah, for sure. And we'll also see the return of a longtime Packer. Josh Sitton will be back, coming back to Lambeau Field here after his surprising release at the end of training camp. Now, Sitton's on the injury report. We don't know at this point what his status may be, but Brian Bulaga talked in the locker room on Monday about seeing Josh Sitton in a Bear uniform at Lambeau Field, and he said, "Well, it's just going to be a little weird, a little different, you know." And that's true. I think a lot of the Packers' offensive linemen will be glad to see their old friend, but times have changed, and things are moving on. The Packers certainly have other issues to worry about as opposed to that, because the offensive line has really not been a story in the same sense as we're talking about other stories for the Packers.
No, I mean, Lane Taylor stepped in well with that offensive line and fit right in. Certainly there's a lot of friendships and memories there with Josh Sitton. Was a great, you know, three-time All-Pro type player for them, but certainly the offensive line, with where they're at right now, Packers have to feel pretty good about how things have laid.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, but take care of a little business first. Wes, picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Subs' Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we close the show out today, we'll touch briefly on the color rush aspect of Thursday night's game. We talked about this a little bit during the bye week when in previewing some of the upcoming games. The Packers will be in the all whites, essentially their road jersey with white pants. And the Bears will be in the all navy jerseys, navy pants. First time the Packers will be wearing white jerseys at Lambeau Field since September of 1989, a game against the New Orleans Saints The Saints were wearing their black jerseys, and the Packers were wearing the white ones. So it'll definitely be a different look at Lambeau Field, but under the lights and everything, ought to be kind of cool.
Absolutely, and who will ever forget that September 89 game against the Saints? I mean, it was a beautiful day, and we were in Green Bay. Certainly one that'll always go down for the record books, but I'm really excited about this, to be quite honest with you. I already bought my all-white suit. With the little green tie. I'm going to match everybody. I don't know. I understand the traditionalists aren't a huge fan of the color rush, but I actually thought the NFL or whoever decided this did it right with Green Bay and Chicago, because you do have really the essence in the aura of what the franchises are with a little bit of a new twist on it. And I understand some people might have wanted a little bit more radical all yellow or all cerulean. I mean, different colors that you could have went with. But
yeah.
I just think this is a nice traditional take on what has been sort of a millennial kind of tradition now that the NFL has been doing. So I'm excited for it. I think it'll be something cool to watch.
Yeah, a little different look for this longtime NFL rivalry. And for those who may remember, the year that the Bears were playing their home games in Champaign, Illinois, while Soldier Field was being renovated, the Bears actually went with the all-Navy Navy shirts and Navy pants in a primetime game against the Packers. It was a Monday night game down in Champaign, and definitely a striking look with all the all dark, and then it'll be contrasted now with the Packers in the all white. If the Packers actually had a white helmet, it's almost like the game would be in black and white
in
a sense. Like, you don't even need a color TV or anything like that. But it should be. Should be fun, and certainly I think a good atmosphere at Lambeau Field for the home fans.
I am very curious to see what those jerseys and uniforms look like at the end of the night, though, because usually you got the Packer gold shorts and everything, so you can't really see. I'm guessing they're going to be pretty messy by the end of the night, though. But in terms of the actual look of it, I think it's just going to be a great thing to do. I saw that, you know, all the prototypes with Clay Matthews. I think it's going to be something that'll be really fun for the fans to be part of.
Yeah, I think so too. We'll see how the fans react, because you know how this goes. If the Packers win, it'll be like, oh, they have to wear those uniforms all the time. So, but anyway, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.